Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. I want to thank you so much for being on our Saturday conference call. So first of all, I'm going to tell you some of the announcements that I have, and then we'll start talking about finding a rental in Panama because it's a whole different process. I did talk to a couple of the immigration attorneys that I work with and ask if there were any updates on any changes to the Friendly Nation visa, and the only information that I have on that is that if they do make any changes, they're not going to make them until next year. So at least until the end of the year, all the rules are going to be exactly the same. The attorneys have still not been able to have a meeting with the immigration director to voice their objections to any kind of changes to the Friendly Nation visa, but they're hoping to have that by the end of the year and convince them that they need to wait at least a year or two would be better. Wait till the pandemic is over, because so many people had planned to come to Panama during this whole pandemic time, but they couldn't get here because our borders were closed. So when the attorneys have the meeting with immigration director and I have more information, I'll let you know. But just so you know, right now, there's not going to be any changes done to the Friendly Nation visa. So that's really good news. The other news that I had for you was, you know, we did that Facebook and YouTube live. It was a live stream that we did. Was it last weekend? I think it was last weekend. And some people said that they really liked the live stream, and I enjoyed doing the live stream also, but some people live in a country or they live in an area where their bandwidth just wasn't high enough, so it was they didn't get a very good reception. But it worked whenever it was live, but it does work well on the replay, so that's no problem. So my plan is that one Saturday I'll do a conference call like we're doing right now, and then the next Saturday I'll do a live stream about some particular topic. So I'm going to try to do that and see how that works out, and then I'll just continue to get your feedback on which way you like the best and your feedback on what topics you would like for me to cover. So that's our biggest plan of all right now, is that we're going to do a conference call this week, and then we're going to do the live stream at a different time on the next Saturday. So now I'm going to talk to you about finding a rental in Panama. When the borders opened on October the 12th, we had a lot of people that came to Panama, probably about 110 people that had either been on a Panama relocation tour or they purchased the online Panama relocation guide. We had a lot of people that came to Panama. Some moved to the Coronado area, some moved to Panama City, some moved to Chitre, Las Tablas, Pedici, Volcan, Boquete, David, and Dolega, a lot of different places. So luckily they didn't all move to the same town, but they've discovered that finding a rental can be a little bit challenging, especially when so many people come to town all at the same time. So those of you that are coming a little bit later, you'll find it just a little bit easier. I know where you live, you can probably just walk into a real estate office, or you can look on Zillow or something like that and see all the different properties that are available for rent and then contact the property manager or the owner to go see the property. Well, it really doesn't work that way here. If you walk into one real estate office, they might have two or three properties that are in your price range that they can go show you. But if neither one of those just feels right, if it's not the right kind of a property, then you're going to have to do some more things on your own. You've got to take a very proactive approach to finding rental properties here. You need to start looking on Craigslist Panama and the area that you're interested in. A lot of times owners of properties, that's where they put it. They don't it's not with a real estate office. It's not with a property manager. They just put it on Craigslist Panama. You can start looking on that website. Also, I know some of you don't like Facebook, but if you're going to live overseas, Facebook is going to be your lifeline. So you're going to have to get used to using Facebook at least a little bit. And just don't put any personal stuff on there, but use it as a tool to be able to find rentals and to communicate with people about where to get things done. So in Facebook, for the particular town that you're interested in Panama, there's probably a Facebook group just for that town. And you can post on there that you're moving to town in March and you're looking for a three-bedroom, two-bath, and you want to keep the price under $700 a month, and people will contact you about any things that they have available. There's also the Facebook Marketplace where owners will put information about properties that they have for rent. So Facebook, Craigslist, some real estate offices, but they're going to have very limited inventory. You're going to need to start scouring all of those in advance and kind of get a good feel for what's available now, even if you're not moving to Panama just yet. It'll just give you a general idea of what's available and what the prices are like. The absolute best way to find a rental property is word of mouth, but that's not going to work very well when you're not here. So you may want to come to Panama and get an Airbnb for 2 weeks or even 30 days, and then just get out there and talk to people at coffee shops, at little restaurants, at live music events, at church, all different places. Tell people that you're moving to town and let them know what you're looking for. And almost always somebody knows of something that is someplace here in town. So word of mouth is absolutely the best way. You're going to get the best prices, and often you're going to get the house or the condo before anybody else knows about it with word of mouth. The other thing that I would really advise that you do whenever you come to Panama to look for a rental is spend the extra bucks. It's about $30 a day to rent a car and just go driving around and get familiar with the different areas and start looking for rent signs. Or you could even utilize, get a private tour. We offer private tours of different areas to help familiarize you with the different areas of the city and also what the weather's like. The microclimate can be very different, just 1 or 2 miles away, very, very different. And that will give you a good idea of what it's like in the town. And the private tour guide can also write down any of the things that you see that are for rent and call people, because sometimes the landlord only speaks Spanish. So the private tour guide can help you with that also. So you've got to take a much more proactive approach whenever you're looking for a rental property. In the Coronado area and also in Panama City, whenever there's a rental, then some of those real estate agents or property managers, they do have an agreement that they will share a commission. If you were to work with one and you found it was somebody else, then they would share a commission on it. But in many of the other parts of Panama, they just don't do that. So you're going to have to maybe go to 2 or 3 different real estate offices and Craigslist and Facebook and word of mouth also. Each one of the real estate offices will have very limited inventory in your price point. But just if they don't have something one day, they might have it the next day. So you have to be proactive about it. Some other things to keep in mind about finding a rental. I see this all the time on Facebook. People say, oh, I want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, and I want to have a bathtub, and I need a fenced yard for my dog, and I want to make sure that I have high-speed internet. So the more criteria that you have, the harder it's going to be to find exactly what you have. Finding any house with a bathtub is pretty rare in Panama unless you get to the price points that are over $1,000 a month. They might have a bathtub, but other ones would not. So you're going to have to perhaps rearrange your priorities on what's most important for you. If you want to stick in a certain price range, then you may not be able to get everything on your list, but it's easy enough to compromise. So let's say that you found the perfect house, had amazing views and everything else, but it didn't have a fenced yard. Well, you can get those temporary little poles to put in the ground and some chicken wire, and you can make a little fence around your yard. That's easy enough to do. Just because it doesn't come with a fence yard doesn't mean that you couldn't put something up for your dogs. Also, speaking of dogs or pets, The more pets that you bring with you, the harder it's going to be to find a rental property. If you just have one or two pets, a cat or a dog, then most people say no problem, you can have those pets. But if you get three, four, five, six pets that somebody had brought, you're going to have less property, less choices of what you can choose from to rent. So just know that in advance that it's going to be much harder to find a landlord that's going to take on more than two, maybe three pets, but more than that, it's going to be much more difficult to find a rental. So it might take longer for you to find just the right place. A good example is a couple that came on our tour last year in 2019, and they moved here and they were house sitting. We had to do a conference call about it. They were house sitting in the Pearl Islands, and part of their house sitting is they were taking care of five beautiful German Shepherd dogs. Well, now the owner of that house has decided they want to sell it and move back to France, and she can't take or doesn't want to take the dogs with her. Well, they got kind of attached to all five of those dogs. And they've moved to Boquete now, and they're having a hard time finding a landlord that will take five big German Shepherd dogs. The choices are much less available for five big dogs. So know that if you bring a lot of pets, it's going to take you longer to find the right property. You'll find it eventually. You might have to compromise that it doesn't have everything that you'd like to have on your list, but it will take a little bit longer. So know that in advance. The other important thing about finding a rental is some of you have kind of worked on your budget on what you can spend whenever you move overseas. Let's say your budget is $2,000 a month and that you're willing to spend up to $1,000 a month on a rental property. Well, don't limit yourself to only looking at rentals in the $1,000 a month price range. You should look at things in the $700, $800, $750, even $650 a month price range also, because you might find the perfect house that's just $600 or $700. You don't have to go all the way up to $1,000 on your budget. You don't have to max it out. So be flexible, and don't, when you talk to a real estate agent or when you talk to other people, don't say, "Oh, I want to keep it between $1,000 and $1,200 a month." Be willing to look at things that are lower price point. You might find the perfect house for a lot less than you thought you were going to have to spend. And I did put an article up on Facebook the other day about net listings. A net listing is whenever it happens with sales, it also happens with properties that are for rent. Let's say a net listing on a rental that the landlord has said, "I want to get $650 a month rent on my property." That's what they tell the property manager. And instead of the property manager advertising it for $650 and then getting a commission off of that, they might advertise it at $750 or $850 so that they can make a little bit of extra profit every single month on you paying rent. That's illegal in North America, in the United States, and Canada. Net listings are illegal. Unfortunately, in Panama, it's not illegal. Most agents would not do that. Most of the property managers would not do that, but some of them will, both on things for rent and things on sale. So for you to avoid being caught into one of these net listing situations, I really suggest that any rental that you're looking at, if you're not talking to the owner directly, demand that you want to talk to the owner about the property. We had someone last week that they went and looked at a property for $1,500 a month here in the Boquete area, and it just wasn't just perfect. And then they got a call from a real estate agent and said, "Oh, they have this great house, and it was $1,800 a month." And they drove up to it. It was the very same house that they had seen in the morning for $1,500. In the afternoon with a different agent, it was $1,800. And they knew that that was, they were playing a game. And then the next day, they saw an ad for property that was $1,300 a month. Guess what? They went and looked at it. It was the very same house. So the exact same house, $1,800, $1,500, and $1,300. Nobody really knows what the right price is on that property. If you talk to the owner, of the property, then that's how you can find out what the right price is and not be taken advantage of with these net listing situations. I'm not trying to scare you that every single property is that way or that every agent does. Most agents are honest and ethical, and they're not going to play those games. But occasionally, you will run across one. So to protect yourself, always say that you want to talk to the owner directly. And you can ask them all kinds of different questions about the house and when was the water heater put in and other things, but also say, now, what is the rent that you want on this property, and get it direct from the owner, and then you know that that's the right price. And also, when you're renting a property, it's typical in Panama that they're going to require a security deposit that's equal to the first month's rent plus the first month's rent before you can move in. So let's say it's $700 for the rent, and then they would have a $700 security deposit. That means you'd need $1,400 to get into that property. Landlords here, they don't take credit cards for rent. You're not going to be able to write a check from Canada or the check from the United States for your rent. They're going to want cash. So you're either going to need cash to pay for it, or you're going to have to wire money from your account into their account to cover that first month's rent. So those are the important things about finding a rental and making sure that you get a good deal on it. I also want to talk to you about important things that you need to ask and that you need to do before you actually rent a property. In Panama, we have the dry season and we have the rainy season. And at the end of the dry season, which is the end of April, sometimes in some areas in Panama, not everywhere, but in some areas, the water pressure is going to be really, really low at your house, or there could even be no water at your house for part of the day because there just hasn't been enough rain for it to fill up the reservoir. So the solution to that is that you should rent a house that has a reserve water tank. That's a great big tank. They're usually black, might be green, that sits outside your house, usually a little bit elevated above where the house is. And then that's going to be extra water. With a reserve water tank, the municipal water will go into the reserve tank and it'll fill it up. I have a reserve tank that's 10,000 liters, so it's a big one that's filled up with water from the municipality. And then whenever I turn on the tap in my house, the water comes out of the reserve tank through a filter and then it comes to my house. And then because some of the waters come out, then more municipal water will come in. So it's always, the water supply is always constantly changing, but I have extra water just in case there's a break in a water line, or just in case something happens and there's no water coming from the municipality. You know, I really strongly suggest that you rent a house that has a reserve water tank. Ask that question, does it have a reserve water tank? If it doesn't, then you might ask them to put it in, or ask if you could put it in and deduct the cost of it off of your first and second month's rent, because it's important for you to have that. The other thing, especially in the beach areas, is you cannot assume that a house is going to have hot water at every faucet. You may have seen one of our recent YouTube videos of Carol talking about a house that she's renting with ocean views for $600 a month, two-bedroom, two-bath house, beautiful house, but it had no hot water anywhere in the house. Well, she got tired of taking lukewarm showers. It's warm there, so it was, you know, warm water, but it's just, she likes a hot shower. So she had a water tank put in just for the shower, but still her kitchen sink has no hot water. Her washing machine has no hot water. The secondary bathroom has no hot water. So especially if you're in the beach areas, but anywhere, find out, does it have hot water, and which faucets have hot water? Because maybe not all the faucets will have hot water. So that's certainly something to check on. If you ask the property manager, the real estate agent, or the owner, does it have high-speed internet? They'll probably say yes, but it might be that it's only 3 megabits or 5 megabits of internet speed. So the better question to ask is, what is your internet speed? And they might not know, but you could always use your cell phone whenever you go visit the house and do a speed test to see what it is. And if it's low, ask them who is their internet service provider and is it possible to get a higher speed and what would that cost? In some areas in Panama, they're going to have fiber optics, usually through a company called Cable Onda. Cable and Wireless also has it, but Cable Onda is better. And then that's going to be 100 to 600 megabits of internet speed. But if it's some of the other companies like Planet Telecom, the maximum speed you're going to be able to get is about 10 megabits of internet speed. So ask them, who's the internet service provider and what is the actual speed? Don't just ask them, does it have high-speed internet? I've got a list of things to go down here. So also, if you're renting a house that has a metal roof, and quite a few houses in Panama do have a metal roof, you need to know that when it pours down rain, it's going to sound like a freight train going right through your house. You literally are not going to be able to sit and watch TV because it's when it's raining hard, the noise will be so loud you won't be able to hear the TV. So you might want to ask people, what kind of roofing material do they have? It's common that there's three different kinds of roof. It's either going to be a metal roof, it's going to be a tile roof, or it's going to be a cement fiber roof. If it's a tile or cement fiber roof, then you're not going to have a problem with the noise. But if it's a metal roof, when it rains, it's going to be pretty darn noisy. I've been in houses and I literally couldn't have a conversation with somebody in the house. We couldn't hear each other talking no matter how loud we talked because it was raining so hard that it was just too noisy. Before you rent a house and whenever you see the house and if the house looks great, I know so many people that have had this situation. The house looks great. The views are amazing. You say, okay, I'll take it. And you sign the lease. And maybe you saw it at 10 o'clock in the morning, but you haven't been there in the evening and seen what that area is like in the evening. So before you sign that lease, it might be a good idea to go back to the property and check on it in the evening. If possible, even check on it on the weekends. You might have neighbors that love to party in the evenings, and they'll have 10 or 20 cars with really, really, really loud music, and you might not. But it's a good idea to find out what's going on. Sometimes houses have dogs that are close by that bark a lot. I just had someone, James Kent, that came on our tour about 3 or 4 years ago, and he moved into this amazing house. The views were perfect, but he just didn't even think about it that the dogs next door were barking so much that they couldn't even get any sleep at night. So he had to move again for the third time he moved. And some houses, especially in rural areas, they might have a rooster that could wake you up early, early in the morning. Or roosters, they don't just do it in the morning. They're going to make their noise at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. They can get noisy anytime. So don't just look at the house and what the contents look like and the views look like. You need to look at the whole neighborhood. Is there somebody down the street? Might walk up and down the street and see if dogs start barking whenever you go walking up and down the street. Maybe even talk to some of the neighbors and ask them what they know about a particular house, and that'll help you avoid a mistake. Another thing that you want to do is the road to get to the house. First of all, never ever rent a house without actually seeing it first. If you're just going to come here for 1 month and get an Airbnb, that's okay. But to actually sign a lease for 3 months, 6 months, or 1 year, you don't ever want to do that without actually seeing the house yourself. You should know that if you're seeing a house and there's a dirt road to get to it, that if you're in the dry season, maybe no problem at all getting to that house in the dry season. But in October and November, we get a lot more rain in October and November. And it's very possible that the road to get to the house could be washed out, or there could be really big holes in the road to make it difficult to get into your property unless you have a four-wheel drive. So if it's a dirt road to get to your property, just know that October, November, it could be difficult to get to the property. So that's, even if it's the perfect house, sometimes getting to it can be hard. So you need to keep that into consideration. Also, make sure that whenever you see the ad for the property or whenever you're talking to the owner, when they show it to you, take a little notepad. And if they say, oh, yes, electricity is included and internet is included and cable TV is included and the gardener's going to come every Friday, write down all those things. Write down everything they say that's going to come with the house. Sometimes they'll say that electricity is included so long as it's less than $25 a month. Anything over 25 you have to pay for. And other times they'll just say electricity is included. Especially in the beach area, they might say no electricity is included because they'd be afraid that you use an air conditioner. But everything they tell you that's included with the rent, write it down. And then make sure you have a written lease. The lease is probably going to be in English and Spanish. They'll do one paragraph in Spanish and then that same paragraph in English. So one paragraph in Spanish and one paragraph in English. And look back at your notes and see all the things that were written down that they said was going to be included and make sure those things are all on the list. For example, if they said a gardener's going to come every Friday, but that's not on the lease, say, hey, but you told me a gardener was coming every Friday and it's not in the lease. So if it's not in there, make sure that they write it in and everybody initials that the gardener's going to be included every Friday. So there's no surprises for you. Also, take into consideration how far away the property is from town. If you're not planning to buy a car whenever you move to Panama, and a lot of people love the freedom of not owning a car, not having the maintenance and insurance expenses and everything else, if you're not going to be, if you're not going to own a car, you need to take into consideration how far the rental is from downtown. And is there a bus that goes by every 30 minutes to get you to town? Or are there taxis that you can call that could come and pick you up? And what are those costs going to be? Taxi's always going to be about four times more than the local bus. For example, where I live in Boquete, there's a bus that goes by probably about every 30 minutes. And it's a dollar for me to take the bus if I want to go into town, even though it's a 10-minute drive for me to drive into town. There's a bus that's readily available. If I had stopped a taxi to take me into town, it would be $4 or $5 to take a taxi. So if you're not close to town, you need to find out what transportation is available to get to the rental property. Now, those are the things that you need to check out with a house or condo or anything. But there's certain things that are especially important to check out if you're renting a condo. With the condo, you might be on the 15th floor and you need to ride an elevator to get up to the 15th floor. They'll have stairs also, but you need to inquire whether or not there's a generator that's going to operate that elevator whenever the power goes out. And the power is going to go out once in a while, so you need to be prepared for that. But find out if there's a generator and also what all does it power inside your condo. In some condos, especially the older condos, that generator might only power the refrigerator in your house. At some other condos, the generator might have at least one outlet in every single room that it keeps working if there's a power outage. But ask that question, is there a generator and which outlets in my condo are going to be still have power in case we have a power outage? With a condo, you also want to find out how many parking spaces do you have and where is it located? Go eyeball it. Go check it out for yourself. You should know that with a condo, and we have an article on the website about do's and don'ts of renting from a pro, and it's a lady that has been here 5 years and she's moved 10 times and she's getting ready to move again. She's in Coronado. They're sick of the heat and they're getting ready to move back into Boquete. But she discovered that whenever she rented a condo on the west side of the building, that it was really, really hot inside the building, really hot. And she was having to use the air conditioner all the time, and even then it wasn't cooling it off. But she moved to the east side of the building and she didn't have that problem anymore. So know that if you're on the west side of the building, you're going to have that afternoon sun that's pouring in, and it's going to really heat up your unit and make it uncomfortable, even perhaps for sleeping at night. So you'd have to use an air conditioner, and then that's going to really jack up your electric bill. She went from spending about $150 to $180 a month on her electric bill when she was on the west side of the building. When she moved on the east side of the building, her electric bill went down to about $50 a month. It's a big difference in what it's going to cost. So keep that into consideration also. Also, in the Coronado area especially, not in other places, but Coronado, Gorgona, Chame, San Carlos, Rio Hato, Playa Blanca, all those areas that they call it the Gold Coast of Panama on the Pacific side, a lot of the landlords there are going to charge a high season rent, and then they have a low season rent. If you're planning to move to the Coronado area, you absolutely do not want to move there in December, January, February, or March, because that's in the middle of high season and the rents are going to be double what they would be if you rented the very same unit in low season. If you're wanting to move to the Coronado area, I would highly recommend that you come in September or October. And you're going to have a lot more inventory to look at, and go ahead and rent it, even if you're not planning to move in until December. But go ahead and rent it because your rent will be half as much. Just an example, on one of the last tours that we did, we saw this beautiful condo, and it was in high season, it was in March, and it was $2,000 a month. But that very same unit, it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful for $2,000 a month. That very same unit with everything exactly the same, if you rent it in low season, was only $1,100 a month. So it's a big difference. And even if you're paying for a couple of months when you're not there, you can still save a lot of money. If you're working with a good property manager, they may be even able to write into the lease that you can sublease it when you're not there. So if you rented it in September, but you weren't going to move in until December, the property manager may be able to sublease it out to people on a 2 week or 1 month situation to where you recoup some of your money. Speaking of condos, because of the pandemic, many of the condos that used to allow Airbnbs and short-term rentals, they don't anymore. So now they require, some of them require 1 month lease minimum, some require 3 month lease minimum. But that's something you need to find out is, do they allow, if you're in a condo complex, do they allow Airbnbs in this property, and what are the rules? Does it have to be 1 month? Does it have to be 3 months, or what are the rules? Some condo complexes, it's almost like a hotel because they allow people can just rent for 1 night. And so you never really get to know who your neighbors are. And a lot of people, they're doing that, just renting on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're doing it for a party. So they'll invite all their friends to come. The music will be loud. And it won't really feel like a home whenever you're living in a hotel kind of environment with a condo complex. So be sure to ask the owner or the property manager, what are the deed restrictions or the rules for Airbnb rentals? What's the minimum rental? And things like that. You don't want to be in a situation where you're renting a apartment or a condo for 6 months or for a year, but almost all your neighbors are only there for 1 or 2 nights because it's not going to be good. So those are the main things that I had to tell you about finding a rental and important things that you need to ask and find out before you actually rent. I can't stress enough how important it is to not rent something without actually seeing it, because whenever you see a picture of a property on Craigslist or Facebook or wherever, it might look great. The furniture might look great. The views might look amazing. But you might discover when you actually go see it, those pictures were taken 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years ago, and it doesn't even look like that anymore. The furniture's not even the same. Maybe it hasn't been painted in 4 years, and it looks grungy. So it's really important to don't just rent something with looking at it online. You need to come to Panama, just get in a hotel room, stay in an Airbnb for a week or two, and take your time to go actually look at the house, turn on the faucet, see if it has hot water, do that speed test that I talked about, but don't rent something without actually seeing it first. So those are the most important things that I wanted to tell you about finding a rental and things that you need to do. And now I'm going to open it up for questions. So my first caller is Patricia. Go right ahead, Patricia. Patricia, I've unmuted your line. Okay, I'm going to come back to you in just a little bit. My next caller is area code 443. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Hello, this is Shirley from Maryland.
Hi, Shirley. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. I did have a question about what you mentioned in the net listings. When agents charge people more than what the landlord is charging and they pay their rent monthly, if they're paying the landlord, how does that agent get that excess amount?
Well, what happens is you're going to actually pay the property manager. You're not going to be paying the owner directly. You'll pay the property management company, let's say, $800 a month, and then the agent might pay the owner $600 a month, and guess where the rest of that money is going. It's not an ethical practice, that's for sure. But you can avoid that if you just have a conversation with the owner yourself, and you know exactly. Don't tell them what the agent said, but just ask them, now, how much rent do you want for this property? And then you can find out what the right number is.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. That's all I needed. Thank you so much for having your call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Next caller is Freeland. How are you today, Freeland?
Good. How about yourself?
Very good.
Hey, by the way, thanks for all the videos. I'm really getting a lot of – sometimes I'll watch them two or three times just to get the message. You know, it's really good. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
How often does someone find a rental and then possibly like it so much that they could actually purchase it from the owners? Does that ever happen?
Oh, sure, that happens. Actually, the house that I'm in, when I first moved to Panama, I rented a little two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house for $600 a month, and I just signed a six-month lease. And then after 6 months, the landlord asked me if I wanted to renew it, and I said, yeah, because I really like it here. So she asked me to sign a five-year lease on the property. But about 6 months into that five-year lease, she ran into some financial problems and said she really needed to sell her house. So I was able to negotiate a good price, and I bought it. But there's something else that I want to mention about leases that is important that I didn't have in my notes or I would have done it. So let me bring that up right now. I can't tell you how many times, probably 50% of the people that move to Panama, they move to a certain area and they think that they've just found the perfect spot, but then they discover that it's too hot or it's too cold or it's too noisy or it's too humid or something. And then they want to leave. So if you sign a long-term lease whenever you first move here, you're kind of stuck. legally in Panama, a tenant can get out of their lease with just a 30-day notice, but you probably won't get your deposit back, so you'll lose some money. So initially, it would be a good idea to just sign a 3-month or a 6-month lease, and then know that during that 3 to 6 month time frame, if the house is just not working out because it's too hot or too cold or too windy or too humid or too many dogs or whatever, then you know that that'll give you time to find another property that you can move into someplace else. Most of the people that I know, not me, but most of the people that I know that have been here, they've moved at least 2 times or 3 times in Panama before they found just the right spot. It's kind of like that Goldilocks story. This one's too hot. This one's too cold. This one's too windy. So it takes a while to find the right place. Sign just a 3-month lease if you can, or have them write, if you sign a 6-month or 1-year lease, say that you're going to get all your security deposit back if you need to move out early. So include that in the lease. My next caller is area code 515.
Yes. This is Cardian from Iowa. As far as your individual tours, the person, the people that, are you, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, okay. The people that you have for Panama City, since it's such a large city, do these people pretty much know all the different neighborhoods?
They know all the different neighborhoods, and usually what you're going to do is let them know what price range that you're interested in for a rental, and then they can zoom right in on those particular areas that would be a good fit for you. Or you might say you want to be close to town, but not right in the middle of town, and then they'll know to take you to Clayton or some of the other places. So you just need to communicate with them what you're looking for, and then they'll just show you those things instead of all of the city. It seems like it's a big city, but it's really pretty small. In 2 days, you can see pretty much everything there.
Oh, okay. Well, but if you don't have an idea of what you could pay for rent, I mean, what the market is out there for rent.
Well, you know what your budget is, and if you know what your budget is, if you say, well, I want to keep it under $1,500 a month, then there's certain parts of town where there's no way you could find anything for $1,500 a month. But there's other parts of town where you can find plenty of things that are $1,500 a month or $1,000 a month. So just communicate with them that you want a single family house, you want an apartment, you want a condo, you want ocean view, you want to be close to the hospital. Let them know what's important to you on your would really like to have list, and then they can make sure to show you things and show you different neighborhoods. And once you know which neighborhoods you like the best, then they can line up some rentals for you to see there if that's what you want to do. My next caller is area code 408.
Yes, hello. I had a quick question in that I have 2 horses and 2 donkeys. And so is it fairly, I guess I just don't know about the availability of finding a rental property that would also have space for horses and donkeys. Or do people come down, find a place to board horses and donkeys and then rent, or is it easy to find something that would have some land to it?
It's half and half. Some of the people, they have their rental house that they're living in, and then they have their donkeys and horses on pasture land that they rent from somebody else that's not very far away, so they can go visit them. Some people have a property that's big enough that they can have them right there close by so they can keep an eye on them. There's also boarding stables and things like that too. So it's just a little bit of both. When you're going to be bringing horses and donkeys, I would highly recommend that you come down and plan to spend a month to find just the right property for you and for your animals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Do you have any sense of what the boarding costs? So I'm kind of thinking about the Vulcan area. If there's boarding stables,
I really don't know. Vulcan's probably your best bet on finding something where you could have your animals right next to you, but I have no idea what the costs are. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. But thank you. Appreciate
if
it.
If you get on some of the Facebook groups that are specifically Rakan, then I'm sure that they could answer that question for you.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jackie, for all the calls and information. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. There, by the way, there's two main Facebook groups for Vulcan. One is called Vulcan Community Group, and the other one is called the Cherokee Highlander Society.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. I'll look those up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Next caller is area code 501.
Hi, this is Vicki, and I'm so excited to be on this call with you. I have been watching your videos and listening to your conference calls, and my main goal is to get to Panama as soon as I can.
Come on down. What are you waiting on?
Well, I'm still working.
Oh, well, yeah, that does kind of put a monkey wrench in everything, doesn't it?
Yes, I want to get on one of your tours, but you're so booked up. But anyway, one of the questions I had is I really would like to immerse in the Panama culture and yet still be close to my fellow expats. And I'm wondering, a lot of expats move into Panamanian neighborhoods, and or do they kind of stick with the expats mostly? And also, is it difficult to find homes, the furnished rentals that have washers and dryers?
Most houses come furnished, and it's going to have all the furniture, stove, refrigerator, pots and pans, dishes, sheets and towels. Washer and dryer is going to have all of those things. Most rentals do. It's actually hard to find a rental that doesn't have those things. So I should have added that to my list of things to talk about, that most rentals come completely furnished. So if you're planning on shipping a shipping container, 20-foot or 40-foot shipping container with your things down here, you're going to have a hard time finding a place to put them because it's hard to find a vacant rental property. And to answer your question, most people, they live in a neighborhood that it's a combination of Panamanians and expats. For example, I have two expats that are next to me, but then I have a Panamanian doctor on one side of me, and I have a lady from Panama City on the other side, a lady that's from China across the street, and a guy from France down the street. So we got expats from all over the world, but we have Panamanians too. And most places are going to be about 50% Panamanian. If you go into a gated community, then it tends to be more expats, but I really wouldn't recommend. Gated communities are usually quite expensive, and it just doesn't give you that immersion into the culture and getting to know your neighbors. That's part of the fun of moving here, is getting to know the culture and getting to know the people.
Oh, that's part of what I'm looking forward to.
Right. And so it just depends on if you want hot weather or if you want warm weather, if you want cooler weather, and it depends on what your price point is, but there's going to be just the right place for you to move to that'll be a good fit, that'll be a combination of all of those things.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate you calling in today. My next caller is area code 832.
Yeah, Jackie, I was wondering, it's kind of a question about, temperature and stuff like that. Do they have, electric blankets? I don't know if they still have them here. I kind of have the heater and don't worry about the cost of that. But if you're at a place where you're mostly concerned about the temperature at night, is that something that they have, the cost of using
About the coldest that it's going to get is maybe 65 at night, but that's outside. Inside the house, it'll still be nice and warm, but I don't know any place that gets colder than 65. But I've never seen an electric blanket for sale here, but you can always order it on Amazon and get it shipped here if you need to.
I just didn't know, the cost. I had no idea the cost of even running one. I was just, that was my only concern, living at altitude.
I have no idea, but I live at 4,600 feet, so I'm at a pretty high elevation, and I think the coldest it's ever been here was 64.
And what's on average, what's the difference between inside and outside temperature then?
I really don't know. I've never checked it. Daytime temperature and nighttime temperature is a 10-degree difference, but I don't know. It's probably 10-degree difference between inside and outside also.
Oh, so that's plenty
of difference. But, you know, you just throw on an extra blanket and wear socks when you go to bed, and you're okay.
All right. Just on the flip side, I've been living in the same house here in Houston area for 20 years, and I had the inverse of what you talked about. Just recently, we had on the backside of our house people that knew leasees, and they've been playing loud music and stuff on the weekend. So that was just kind of interesting you mentioning that. Yeah, as far as looking, somebody that signed a lease right behind our house is plays loud music on the weekend. So it's not just your renter; it can also be for an owner. But
it can be anywhere. And, you know, that's for me personally, I'm a really light sleeper. When I first came to Panama, I thought, oh, it'd be so great to get a house real close to downtown. I can just walk to the grocery store. I can walk to the restaurants. I won't even need to get in my car very often. But after spending a week or two there, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is so noisy. About 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, the motorcycles, you hear them, and the dogs barking and people talking. And I'm used to having it peaceful and quiet. So my property is on several acres, and my neighbors are not too close. They're close enough, but not too close, so I don't ever hear anything. But some people want to be right in the middle of it, and some people don't. There's something for everybody here.
Yeah, I think temperature and tranquility are high on my list in that regard.
Yeah, but having a noisy neighbor can ruin it all for you. So it's something to definitely be aware of.
Yeah, as I said, the tranquility part, yes. Alrighty, thank you so
very
much.
Thanks for calling in today. Thanks, Michael. My next caller is area code 803.
And good afternoon. Jackie, this is Rick. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
One quick point first. I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed the live stream last week with Andrea. After that conversation, I immediately called her and booked a flight, so I really appreciate that. They were good stuff. That was good stuff.
That's great. I've been working with her for a long time. She's an excellent travel agent.
Unbelievable. She really went over to Call of Duty, helped me out, so anyway, I appreciate that. And to come to find out, she's a graduate of College of Charleston, which is where I'm from, so that's kind of cool. One question in prorate. Now, I'm going to be arriving there on the 18th of January, and I'm taking 2 days to tour guide to try to find me a place to live. Now, if I do so in that time frame, would it be prorated for the rest of the month, or how does that work, you know?
So some landlords are going to pro-rent and other ones, like if you found the perfect place on the 10th, they'll just write your lease that your rent's always going to be due on the 10th. Other people will say that rent's due on the 15th or it's on the 1st, and they'll just prorate it. So there's not one right answer. And remember, everything is negotiable. So always negotiate it in your favor.
I like that. I'm afraid to go to the contract. Secondly,
okay.
You said something about renovations. Do you need landlord approval? What kind of renovations can you make? You talk specifically about fence yards.
Hey, Richard, I'm sorry, but I was only catching like every other word whenever you were talking for some reason. You're cutting in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jackie. You mentioned something about renovations in the yard in the house that you'd be buying. Are you limited to that, or how good are the landlords on working with you on that?
Some landlords will say no problem at all. If you saw our latest video of Lorelei that's running that place for $350 a month, she's completely transformed it. She's painted it. She made curtains for it. She's done all kinds of things to transform it. And other landlords, usually it's the expat landlords, who say, oh, no, you can't paint anything unless I approve the paint color. And then some landlords, they don't care what you do. So there's just not one right answer.
Okay, one last thing. When you look at a place that says furnished, does that come with bedding and sheets and towels, that kind of thing, or is that just a hit and miss kind of thing?
Nope, it's going to come with usually several sets of sheets. It's going to come with towels, washcloths, silverware, pots and pans, microwave, coffee pot, all those things. Now, the coffee pot might be grungy, and you might want to just throw it away and go buy a new one for $20, but it'll come with all those things.
So I just need my toothbrush, that's it?
And your clothes. But you can buy clothes here too. You can buy a toothbrush and clothes here.
I'm game. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Okay. Yeah, and just kind of revamp on what Richard was talking about. When I first rented my house here in Panama, everything was beige. The bedspread was beige. The walls were beige. The curtains were beige. It was just a beige house, and I like color in my life. So I did some little things with just decorating to liven it up a little bit. It also had one of those huge TVs that you could put your arms around. I'm talking not a 53-incher. I'm talking it was an old TV that was, I don't know what you call it, the really big kind, the super heavy. And I just threw that thing away, and I bought a flat-screen TV for the house because the other one was just horrible. So you might not like the bedspread. You might not like the shower curtains. You might not like the TV and the rental, but it's really cheap to replace those things and change it out. Next caller is David. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jackie. Had a couple of questions, actually three questions, but they're short. First one actually has to do with rental property. If indeed we were to leave the property, say, for 3 months or more, and we did not want to sublet, safety issues, et cetera, I've looked at some of the videos. Some of your clients have talked about bars on the windows, that if indeed you leave the property for a prolonged period of time, there's safety issues, people know that and will break in, et cetera.
It just depends on where it's located. If your house is very isolated location out in the middle of no place, then I would say you need to get a house sitter that's going to stay in the house while you're gone, just so the lights are coming on and off. But if you have neighbors that are fairly close by, you can just ask them to keep an eye on everything for you and you won't have a problem. So it just depends on where you live.
Okay, very good. The second one's not related to it's unrelated to rental properties, but if indeed we purchase a car, the availability and the reliability of mechanics throughout Panama?
They're readily available, they're super reliable, and they're affordable.
Very good. Okay, last question. Will you have another conference call in the future about working with Panama if indeed we want to work part-time, my wife and I are both in the health-related field or healthcare. We wanted to do something that would be part-time. In retirement years, will you have a conference call regarding about that?
I can have a conference call in the future about working in Panama, but I can tell you that most things that are related to healthcare, that's a protected profession reserved for Panamanians only. So you probably wouldn't be, depending on what it is, you probably would not be able to work here.
I understand. Okay, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is Marilyn and Jim.
Hi, how are you? And thanks for having these calls, Jackie. We look forward to them every single week, so we really appreciate your efforts.
You're very welcome.
I just was wondering, when you were talking about, trying to get a hold of the owner of a property to ask them directly, what they want for a rental, how would one go about finding out who the owner of the property was? Like here in the U.S., you can look at property records online and stuff. How would you go about finding out who the owner of a property was?
Well, very often, about half of the time, whenever you see a Craigslist ad or something on Facebook, then it's the owner of the property that you're calling and talking to. But if you're going through a real estate office, and of course it's not the owner, but you just communicate with the real estate agent or the property manager that before you agree to sign this lease, you really need to talk to the owner directly. And of course they'll know exactly who that is.
Yeah. No, okay, that's that sounds pretty easy. I had already taken notes about looking at Craigslist and also possibly Facebook for rentals, but it occurred to me, wow, how would you go about that? So that sounds pretty sensible. Thank you very much.
Well, and then one other thing that you can do, whenever you get that lease signed, you can have your attorney in Panama review it. It'll cost about $50 for them to review it. And your attorney, based on the legal description of the property, they can look at the it'll all be in Spanish, but your attorney can look and verify that the person that's leasing it to you is actually the owner.
Oh, great thinking. That is an excellent thought. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your help.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Next caller is area code 724.
Hi, Jackie. This is Francine from Pittsburgh Steeler Country. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling in, Francine.
Okay, just a quick question. I think you've already answered it, though. I've checked out quite a few of the rental properties online, and I'm going to be there on Friday for a week. And it sounds like that it might be a doable if I do find something that I would like to rent, to rent it then, and I'm not coming back until January, to the beginning of January. But it sounds like that if I find the place, it just might be an idea, you know, good idea to do that, to secure it at that time. And
it would be a good idea, but let me suggest that you also negotiate and let them know that you're not coming back until January, and could you pay half rent until you come back? And they might agree to that.
That sounds like a plan.
A lot of people have. Everything is super mm-hmm. negotiable here. This is just an example. Mm-hmm. You guys saw the email that I sent out the other day that said pay it forward. A lady, Christine, that lives over in Paseo Ancho, some people were looking for a property, and they found the house. They just loved it, but the landlord wanted $1,350 a month. And because Christine had been on a Panama relocation tour, she knew to negotiate. She got him down to $950 a month. So don't be afraid, whatever the rent is, to offer less.
Okay. That sounds like a plan, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, the worst they can say is no. Or if you say, right. you know, would you take $950? And they might say, right. no, but I'd take $1,000. But still, it saves you money. Mm-hmm. So just because it's advertised at one price doesn't mean they wouldn't take a lower price. Just because you see an ad that says no pets doesn't mean that they mm-hmm. wouldn't take a pet. So
right.
just
okay,
ask.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear all that. I'm coming there for the weather, the temperate weather, especially up in the Highlands. That's super important. So all of that area is pretty vital to me, and I cannot wait to immerse myself in the culture and the wildlife and the plants, and I'm very excited. It seems like Friday's really far away.
You're going to love it.
I think so. Okay, thank you, dear.
You're welcome. My next caller is area code 773.
Hi, Jackie. This is Keisha from Chicago. Thanks so much for doing the call. I had a couple of quick questions. You alluded to internet speeds and how they are generally slow, but higher speeds are available. Do you have any idea about the cost of, like, the absolute maximum speeds? Because I would be still working for a U.S.-based company, and so, I mean, high internet speed is pretty essential for my decision about moving.
So at my house, I have fiber optics. So I have 100 megabits of internet speed and
wonderful.
Cable TV for $64 a month. If
okay.
I wanted to bump that up to 600 megabits of internet speed, which I just really don't need that, it would be $99 a month.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And then the other thing was, as far as looking for apartments, how feasible is that to do on weekends? Like, does the town pretty much, like, do Panamanian towns pretty much roll up, like, on Sundays, or would you still be able to find folks?
If it's a holiday, you're not going to get anything done at all. But if it's not a holiday, then they're glad to show you properties on Saturday and Sunday.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 828.
Yes.
Hello.
Now. Hello.
Hi.
All that information that you covered in the first part of tonight's call before you started taking questions about rentals, there was a lot of information there.
Yeah, it was.
So I have the online guide. Is that by any chance already all that information there? Or will you be adding
All of that information plus more is in the online guide, yes.
Wonderful. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, you're welcome. By the way, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 more calls, and then we'll call it a night. Anthony is my next caller.
Hi, Jackie. Just a question regarding the implementation of 5G in the Boquete area or Panama in general. It's something I'm trying to avoid going forward because 5G apparently has 10 times the radiation of 4G. Just want to know your thoughts.
We have 3G in Boquete. We haven't even gone up to 4 yet, so I haven't seen anything about it coming our way.
That's good news. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 213.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for doing this every week. It's so informative. So I missed about the first 5 minutes, and in your email, you said you had a special announcement, so I don't know if you got to that. And then
yep. The replay is going to be available next week, and you can hear all about it then.
Does it have anything to do with the visas?
It does.
I don't want to wait till Monday, Wednesday.
It'll be available next week. I'll try to get it posted on Monday or Tuesday.
That'd be great. So my next question then was, in one of your emails, you had said that if we were in process with the visa, I was wondering what exactly that meant. Like,
that means that you've already applied for a visa. If you only have your temporary visa, you're already grandfathered in.
Oh, but you fully have to have everything checked off the list and submitted to the government, et cetera.
No, that doesn't count. You had to have actually come to Panama and submit all your paperwork.
Oh, okay. And in that visit, hopefully, you can get your temporary.
Right, yeah. You have to come to Panama to get your temporary. But, yeah, I'll try to get the replay posted on Monday, and you can hear all the details then, so I'm not repeating it, okay?
That would be great. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Jackie. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Next caller is Randy. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Quick question.
Hi.
When are you going to replicate yourself?
Well, I have a son and a daughter, and they know all the same things that I know, so
well,
that's good.
And
I also have
something I wondered about.
I have two people trained to do tours, and they know all the things that I know, so I'm sort of replicated already. But I love doing what I do, so I don't want to quit. I like it.
And what I'm suggesting is, as you well know, you're so overbooked, you're booked for the next 2 years.
No, I'm not. I'm only booked until the end of 2021. Only, no. But when we start doing tours again, which will be probably in January, maybe a little bit before then, we are going to have some openings. So if you're not already on the backup list, let us know. Anybody
I put
that
myself
had a tour
on 3 times just to make sure.
Okay, anybody that had a tour canceled, they get first dibs on any openings that we have.
Sure.
And then next, we'll go to the people on the backup list, and then we'll make it available to the general public. But we will definitely have some openings.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. And our last caller of the day is area code 530. I can hear you.
Is that you?
That's me.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Joy Armstrong.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, we're ready to go, you know.
Well, good.
And
are you in Panama now?
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay.
We're waiting for them to get his
passport.
Passport. Yeah, to get renewed.
Okay,
yeah, we'll
good.
Be there.
Okay,
so,
I'll be here too.
What's your question?
Huh?
What's your question?
Oh, when we fly to Panama City, then we have to stay there and get a, what's it called? visa or something? Or we
no, Jackie, what she's asking, we're going to go to David and speak with the attorney you have there, who she's already mm-hmm. sent us some information recently. But the question that we both had was if we're going to have luggage and that kind of stuff, is it better to just stop our flight in Panama City and then rent a car, or is it better to fly all the way to David and rent a car?
This is what I would recommend. If you're going to have a lot of luggage, for you to fly from Panama City to David, they're going to charge an extra luggage fee. So instead, you might want to just have a carry-on luggage that you take with you on the flight from Panama City to David. And then send me an email and I could get one of our drivers to meet you at the airport, and they could pick up your other luggage and send it through a courier service called Felice Chevali. And so your luggage, if you came in on a Tuesday, your luggage would be waiting for you in David or Boquete or wherever that you were going to move to the very next day at 10 o'clock in the morning. Then you don't have to deal with all that extra luggage to bring it into David, but it would be there in one day. And they charge for a 70-pound suitcase, they charge about $10. So it's much cheaper than paying that overweight or the luggage fee on the flights. And Copa Airlines right now, it's only $69 to fly from Panama City to David, and Air Panama is about the same price, about $70. So it's 35 minutes to fly from Panama City to David is much better than a 7-hour drive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So so is it better to go to Panama City and then get a flight to David, or just book it from where we are, you know, in Sacramento all the way to
You can
to
book
David.
It from where you are. It's either Copa Airlines or Air Panama, either one of those two. But if it's Copa Airlines, it's in the very same airport that you'll be flying into, Tacoma International Airport. But that'll be much easier. And then when you get to David, there's several different car rental places right there in David where you could rent a car.
Okay, well, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad I asked that question. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Good to talk to you both. So I want to thank everybody for calling in on our conference call today to learn about finding a rental and important things that you need to ask before you rent a house. Hope to have the replay available next week. As always, if you have any questions about anything, feel free to give us a call at 972-496-4500 or send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours. We're glad to answer any questions that you have. Good night, everybody. I hope you enjoy your weekend.